Hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Box Out Boys. I am your co-host, Skylar Riesberg, and I'm joined by our potentially missing, potentially dead, but now found co-host, Spencer Clark. Spencer, you were missing there for a little bit. You know, last week, I'm not sure if you heard, you were a little out of touch with everything, but we were speculating, the viewers were speculating, you know, what's going on with that man? Because I last update I got, you were coming back. You know, you were coming back from the islands, and on that plane ride, we lost contact with you. So there were a lot of questions about your whereabouts, where that plane could have taken you, and just your general well-being. So you're back on the pod. So obviously everything's okay. But how was the trip? Can you shed some light at all on what was going on last week? Just to, you know, bring it all together for the people invested in your general health.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Kate Middleton right now. People aren't really sure what's going on with me, which I like the mystery that I'm bringing in that. Not lost on me that about 2 minutes ago, you referred to me as ex-co-host, basically trying to kill me off.
That's where my head was at. I just had to flip the switch again. You're back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here. There was some slight confusion on the flight. I had my times wrong. So I thought I got back at 1:30 a.m. Monday morning, and I got back at 1:30 p.m. Monday. Had a quick little layover in Seattle. Have you ever been to Seattle? I think it's a shitty city.
I haven't, but when did you find that out about the plane time? Because if that was like right before, that would completely throw me off.
I was like Friday. Me and Brady Patterson are on the same flight. Shout out Brady Patterson.
Long-time listener. Shout out Brady Patterson.
Long-time fan. It was like Friday, so I had a little time to adjust, but I got a full day in Honolulu. I went to Pearl Harbor, paid my respects.
Oh, damn. So, what's the vibe like there? I've never been to Pearl Harbor, but I kind of imagine it, you know, first thought, maybe a little down on the mood. You start thinking of all the terrible things that happen. But then, is it kind of down, or are people kind of a little, you know, the story, Pearl Harbor has a happy ending, kind of, when you look at it in the sense of, you know, America got in the war, we popped off, we ended up getting payback and justice. You know, that's the American view that people look at it. So is there any bit of that, you know, patriotic, pour one out for the homies and, you know, keep the mood a little light? Or is it all a little, you know, we got to be respectful and solemn here?
It's pretty solemn. Like, it's a pretty solemn place. They don't serve any alcoholic beverages either.
You bring your own.
It's pretty solemn. And it's tough to be solemn when it's 85 and sunny out. But you got to reel it in a little bit.
You got to reel it in. And I can respect that too. I don't know how I'd be there, but I know how I handle those situations. And I'd definitely be bringing a flask in. I don't see that as disrespectful. I'd be pouring one out for the homies. That's paying respect in my own way. So I'm glad you're safe, and I'm glad you're back though. Honestly, at the end of the day, because we were worried, but we were saying some good things about you. We had high hopes of, you know, plane crash down, you're on an island. We said some good things. I'll just leave it at that.
There are times that I am on a plane and I think, imagine if this thing crashed. I think I'd probably live. I don't understand how people
die. I think so
die,
too.
I don't understand how entire plane crashes. People die. Like, I get there could be failure, but it feels like you could just skim it. And like, people are going to die. But I don't know how everyone's died. Like, think of Sully on the Hudson. Why don't we see more of that?
That's exactly what I was just thinking about, Sully. Just saw a clip of him landing that plane the other day again. And what a hero. The fact that he was investigated because they thought he did it on purpose or he didn't handle it the best way a pilot should, like by the book. He saved all those people. He could have crashed into a building. But he went down on that Hudson Bay. He lifted the plane to the nose up and then when impact happened, he was going the right speed. It all works out. I don't think anybody died. I think there were a lot of concerned people around, like, what the hell's going on? Like, could you imagine being on a party boat in the Hudson Bay, and you're just, all of a sudden, zoom, a huge plane flies overhead. You're in God knows what state of mind. What are you doing there? Like, That's a question you don't know until the moment hits. Are you getting out? Are you swimming over there? Is logic prevailing? And you're saying, no, that plane might explode and I might die. That's a crazy situation to imagine.
I think the plane exploding is often forgotten about because I feel like that's something that can happen pretty fucking easily.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, as they say, jet fuel can't melt steel beams. So with that being said, I think we should get to the point here of what we got here for the podcast. And that is, guys, we're almost closing the book on college basketball this season. It's super sad to say out loud, actually. You know, it's been a good ride, but it kind of feels like the time flew. Like, where the hell's it at? It's already March. I'm so excited, but March comes and goes, so I'm trying to take it all in right now. We got the Big 12 tournament coming up. I mean, we got all the Power 6 tournaments coming up. I'm most excited about the Big 12, obviously. And Houston, they secured that number one seed. They deserve it. I got to give the flowers where the flowers are due. Kelvin Sampson won Coach of the Year. And you know what? I could be upset and totally go on a huge rant that Otzelberger deserved it because his name was definitely deserved to be up there in contention for Iowa State. You know, leading a team, they were supposed to be like 7th overall, finished middle of the pack, Big 12. They came out there, they popped off, finished number 2 overall. Yeah. Houston, people thought they'd be up there. But I also feel like, so I've been seeing a lot of debate here, who deserves Coach of the Year, Otzelberger, BYU's Mark Pope, or, you know, did they get it right with giving it to Kelvin Sampson? I think they did. I think you definitely have to mention TJ Otzelberger and Mark Pope and kind of give them their flowers. Say, hey, you guys did a great job. But Houston, as much as everyone was picking them at the top, there were people picking them, you know, 3 or 4. They've had a historical program, you know, a lot of success in their other conferences. But at the end of the day, even if they did say or we did say that Houston's going to finish at the top, nobody knew for sure. There was so much uncertainty with how they would transition to the Big 12. And I was saying it all year that there's no way you can come into the Big 12 and just win it. I will say I feel a little vindicated saying that Kelvin Sampson used to coach at OU. So, you know, maybe he came in knowing a little something. You know, I feel a little vindicated there. No new coach that's never coached in the Big 12 can come in. We'll change that to that. That's our stance on that now. But I got to give the flowers to Kelvin Sampson because he came in, he got it done. Jamal Shedd deserves all the awards he got. And Jesus Christ, they're a good-ass basketball team. They scare the hell out of me.
Hey, man, they are fucking good. Jamal Shedd, defensive player and player of the year. Crazy.
Never happened before.
He's wild. Crazy. It's unfortunate that Zach Edey's going to win the Wooden Award.
Do you think it should have? So if he didn't get it, do you think it should go to Jamal Shedd?
I'm not so sure it shouldn't go to Jamal Shedd, even though Zach Edey is living and breathing. But I mean, he has a great case. He's great. They retired his number. Did you see that? Purdue retired his number after the last home game. Just like immediately after the game, they were like, you are an all-time great. You're going in the rafters right fucking now.
Yeah, I thought that was a little unprecedented. That doesn't happen ever. Isn't that a little... It feels like the wrong time to do that for some reason. I don't know. Maybe wait till next season, you know, when the basketball starts off a little slower for most fan bases. Just let's have an awesome moment at the first home game of we're retiring this dude's number. They do it right now. It feels like they just kind of rushed it. I mean, he was going to get that either way, but it's like the man died or the man's not been playing for 10 years. He's still on the team. He still has eligibility to come back. I think that's wild.
Mark.
Really?
Have you seen
He's got another year left. Is that what you're reeling?
I didn't know he had another
He's year not left. Going to come back. There's no way he does come back, but I think technically there is a year of eligibility left for Zach Edey.
He's going to have a long NBA career. Mark it down.
Some would disagree, but you know, I hope for the best for him. Because you know, he's not exciting. We talk about it, but he's productive. He went up in all stats. I mean, that you can points per game, rebounds. He averages like 26 and 13 or something. That feels like something that happens on your my 2K player.
That is something that happens on your 2K player.
But on the Big 12, you know, Houston's number one. what are some general What are some general thoughts you have about it? You know, seeing the bracket, seeing it all come down, Iowa State number 2, Kansas number 6. How are you feeling?
Kansas being number 6 is kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't gotten used to that. And I have to talk myself out of, this Kansas team.
Well, they're going to lose first round in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I need to talk myself into how good are they? Are they that good?
Well, they're sitting Dickinson and McCullough the entire Big 12 tournament.
And who knows if that actually goes into March Madness too. Because
McCullough maybe, Dickinson maybe. I think both of those guys come back next year too, which is disgusting to think about.
That's wild to imagine they still have eligibility, but I guess that just speaks to those guys being productive all 4 years in college basketball, because McCullough before on Texas Tech was a stud. Now he's a stud here. I mean, he was leading the Big 12 in points per game at one point, right up there with Hunter Dickinson. Hunter dislocated his shoulder out of nowhere. Kevin McCullough has been out. What is his injury? Is it like a knee? It's something that keeps coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. They're dead. Kansas Jayhawks.
You think they're dead in the water?
Season over. They're not good. I don't think
so. Really okay. Good. If we're looking at it, I got it here. They'll play the winner of West Virginia and Cincinnati. And then they'll play Kansas. I see them winning that game. I think they have too much talent to lose first round regardless. They could have a lot of things go wrong for them, it seems like, and probably still win either of those games. I will say Cincinnati could have a little fight in them, but they seem like a team in the Big 12 that's been so close all year. You know, if a couple bounces went their way, they'd be a lot higher than an 11 seed, you know, maybe talking middle of the pack. They played close games, but, you know, finished 11 seed. I could see them maybe doing a little something, but it's too much. You're getting this number 6 Kansas seed. They're probably pissed off about where they finished, pissed off at their season. I'd hope that Bill Self is just Dan hurling their asses and really whipping them into shape. But I think they win this game. And then if they won that, they'd run into number 3 Baylor. And I mean, sure, could they go on a run? Yeah, it's Kansas. Anything could happen. Yeah. We're in the postseason now. Forget about everything. It's one and done. But I don't see how Baylor is going to lose that game. They got too much momentum going, too good of a team.
They do, and they're still playing to move up in seeding. Is the Big 12 a nine bid league? Do we go all the way to TCU or to Oklahoma? I don't think K-State's in, but is Oklahoma in?
You know what? That's a good question. I'm pretty sure if it ended today that Oklahoma's in. I think they are a nine bid team. Let's go through it. You got Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, Texas Tech, they're all pretty firmly in. Kansas is in. BYU's going to be in. TCU for sure. Texas is locked in. So yeah, it comes down to that Oklahoma. Yeah, I think they do get locked in, because what I've been seeing is K-State kind of blows my mind, but they're floating around the bubble somehow, some way. I think if anything, we're talking about a potential 10 bid team versus the 9. I think the 9 have to be firmly locked in.
I'd love Cincinnati to make a run and get in. I think that'd be the funniest thing that can happen.
So you're saying Cincinnati to win it all?
Yeah, let Cincinnati win it all, JC.
If they did that, I don't know any team that would be more deserving. You beat Kansas, you beat Baylor, you beat probably Iowa State, and then you're meeting Houston in the big game, and you beat them. That's the most impressive run anybody's been on this year, I'd say.
I would agree with that.
But Cincinnati, they ain't got that dog in them. Yeah, I think we're talking about a nine bid league, though. I think TCU at 8. TCU in this bracket, I like what I see. I think if anybody's going to knock off Houston before the championship game, it's going to be TCU over a BYU or a Texas Tech. They just had the veterans. They have good players, and they play like an all-around team. They beat them earlier in the year, too. So, I mean, they got that going for them. It just confuses me that they're not better, because they're like all junior, senior team. They were in the dance last year. They popped off some wins. I thought they were going to be a little more higher in the Big 12 this year, and they've just been conf- this last week's loss at home on senior night, that kind of feels inexcusable. Like, this is an actual senior night where most of your starting five is gone and they're just not getting up for it. I'm upset at this TCU team right now. I'm upset. They need to be better. I need to see more from them. I want to see them go in the big dance because I know I'll be picking them. But fuck, are they just going to let me down?
They fucking might. See, they might. They're a feisty team.
If you had to pick a dark horse in this Big 12 tournament right here, because I think we can all agree Houston makes it to the championship game. The way they've been playing, I know they get a little sketchy on the road, but I don't see them not making it. They'd have to beat Texas Tech or BYU, and then they beat TCU, Oklahoma.
I think Baylor wins it. I don't know if that's dark horse or not, picking the 3 seed, but I think Baylor wins it.
I think if you're not picking Houston, you we're going a little dark horsey here.
Yeah, I think Baylor gets it. I think they knock Iowa State off. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with us. I don't fucking love it. And then
what do you like about Baylor? What's got you wanting to bring them far? Because at the beginning of the season, I do remember, you know, some people in the college basketball community saying they can't be that successful if their freshman's a leading scorer. Yeah, I don't know who would have the audacity to say that, but people were. I mean, Jacoby Walter, he's a highly talented freshman who's definitely going to be drafted this year, along with Eve Misi. He's definitely going to go first round this year. And they got two of those guys, along with recruits they brought in, Ray J. Dennis. Was it Jaden Nunn? Their team's stacked. Their team's offensively elite. They don't play the best defense.
Jaden Springer, my guy. But go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is that a Baylor guy?
Or Jalen Bridges, yeah. Jaden Springer somewhere. My bad.
I was like, how's that guy doing?
No, that's fair. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. I'm not ready to admit that. They've just been shooting the ball really well, and Scott Drew's such a good coach.
Yeah, they've had some success in the Big 12 tournament too. That's always something I like to look at. Iowa State was trendy for a little bit. Texas has won in the past 10 years. I think Baylor has won too, but they typically make it to the championship game. The way Iowa State's playing, you touched on it. Where the hell is their offense right now? Nobody wants to be that guy. Milan's barely putting up any shots, and it's just the Keyshawn Gilbert show out there, which is nice, but we're not a team that's going to be carried by one player. Iowa State's a team that's going to be carried by collective effort and everybody doing their role. I don't think the defense intensity has dropped from watching them, but something's missing collectively altogether. I don't know one guy to blame.
I know who to blame.
Who?
I think it's Keyshawn Gilbert's fault right now. He's not playing great, but he also started wearing short sleeve, like a short sleeve dry fit shirt. And he switched up hairstyles, and those just feel like two things you don't do this late in the season. It gives me flashbacks, PTSD, to when some of the Iowa State players got frosted tips, and then we lost to UAB first round. There's something to be said about consistency of your look. Changing something this late, sporadic. I don't trust it.
See, I like his new hairstyle. And I guess it's crazy to hear that that Iowa State team that you touched on, UAB, the frosted tips. We got to find out whose call that was, whose decision that was.
I think it was asking to lose.
You think it was Monte Morris?
I believe it was Monte. That has given me PTSD. Holy shit.
You think he sold his soul to the devil, had to get frosted tips? He had to make all his teammates get frosted tips too? That was in the contract signed. You got all players have to get frosted tips, not just Monte. So all of them got frosted tips, and then they lost. Like, that was in the contract. They lost.
What kind of contract?
But is this a deal with the devil? It's a deal with the devil. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a deal with the devil.
Well, look at what happened.
It's just irrational.
Sure, some of those other players had success, did well, but he sacrificed his tournament that year, and then he was drafted in the NBA, and you know, he got a little better. Probably the most successful college player at that time. I think he got a bad deal out of it. I think if he really looked at that contract with the devil, he'd be a Tyrese Halliburton right now. You know, maybe a little better, not just a good plug-in play point guard.
So you're saying you think he sold his soul with the frosted tips to be like an 8-year NFL vet?
Yeah, he's making that money. He had that Amber Rose on speed dial for a little bit.
Hey, there's people that sell their soul for that. Me, maybe included. Probably, I'd probably pass on Amber Rose too in that deal. I'd probably just take the 8-year, 9-year NFL vet or NBA vet.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, I don't know, maybe Amber Rose is the devil. Maybe she's the one kind of plug and playing everybody, because if we look at her track record with men, is a lot of controversy. It's all crazy, but they're all successful. And they're all kind of with her when they're getting successful. You know, when they're climbing that ladder still, they're in the starlight, boom, Amber Rose is in the background. Demon time.
Maybe Amber Rose is God saving them and putting them.
Hell. Hell no. Amber Rose doesn't seem like God to me. I can see that. You can see the horns.
Give me your thoughts on Amber Rose. It feels like you have a lot to say about Amber Rose.
No, not too much to say, honestly. At the end of the day, I don't know much about her life. I just know who she attaches her life to usually. And I mean, she had a kid with Wiz Khalifa, right? That's yeah. Wiz's, yeah. Started with Wiz, was with Kanye at some point. That yeah. might have even been before. And that then was, with yeah, Monte right. Morris.
21.
All when they're kind of coming up in the starlight. I'm just saying that's a little peculiar. So what's going on?
Maybe everybody that wants to be up and coming should ask Amber Rose out.
That's what I'm saying. No, no, you don't ask her out. You sign the deal with her. Because at the end of the day, she's the devil. But I feel like this point's going all over a lot of people's heads. So Oklahoma's definitely locked in the tournament, probably.
I think the people that get it will get it.
And the ones that don't. That's a life lesson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't conform yourself. Oklahoma, whatever, they're fine. I think Baylor wins. I don't really think... It's obviously fun to win your conference tournament, but like, I had this thought the other day that you can win your conference tournament and rattle off, win 3 in a row, 4 in a row. But then it just gets like, because then you have to pull off 6 in a row in the NCAA tournament, right?
Well, do you believe in the curse of winning your conference tournament?
No, I think Kemba killed that curse.
Ah, that's one guy. He's an outlier.
I think there's something to be said about the fatigue aspect. And also, it's a lot harder to win 10 games in a row than it is to win 6 games in a row.
Oh, yeah, but if anybody could do it, I would say, well, we'll get to who I'll say. But final thoughts on the Big 12 tournament here. I think if anybody could go on a little run, that probably shouldn't. Texas, potentially. I'm kind of with you. I really do see, and I wanted you to talk me out of this. I see Iowa State as a weak seed in here. They just aren't playing good basketball at this time of the year. Hopefully things are, you know, turn around and click here. I wouldn't advise anybody to pick against Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament where they have historical success, but I don't feel good about this team at this moment, yeah. Whether it's because of Keyshawn Gilbert and his haircut or the lack of offense, you know, one of the two, it just doesn't seem like they're in a good place. But I like a Texas potentially making a run to play Baylor. I like a UFC potentially pulling some off against BYU. I think that's a little wild. But if I had to pick one of those 4 seeds to do something between OK State, UCF, West Virginia, and Cincinnati, UCF would probably do it, facing a shaky BYU team here and there.
Yeah.
BYU Texas Tech, I don't know. It really just feels like Houston's tournament to win. And then we'll see what happens with them in the tournament, but they're locked in as a 1 seed there. What tournament excites you the most next? Because obviously we're going to be locked in on a Big 12 tournament. We could come back, but between the Power 6, we got the Big 12. What other, out of the other 5, what ones interest you the most?
I think probably the most even one is the Pac-12. Feels like the Pac-12 is going to be a competitive tournament.
I did not expect you to say that.
I think Arizona's really good, but like after that, it's kind of even. it feels like. I feel like that's going to be a really competitive tournament. The SEC, I'm kind
of... It will be, but I feel like in such a gross way. Because those teams, they're a two-bid league, the Pac-12, and those teams are so... I wish I could describe them in another way, but they're gross. They are... It's not the best basketball to watch. The fact that we're out here looking at USC and UCLA like, oh, look how competitive they're getting in the Pac-12 is just such a sad thought, sad thing to say. I mean, shit, USC could pull some moves, win this tournament, and then they're in. I'm here for that. If that's the script for the Pac-12, I'm here for that because that would be exciting. Arizona's definitely, even if they win, I don't see how that moves their resume up anymore because it's not like they would be beating anybody that noteworthy that would, you know, move their position up. So you got Arizona and Washington State as two teams probably going to the NCAA tournament. The rest of them are maybe. Colorado. Yeah, Colorado's up there. They got a lot to play for.
See, like, imagine I'd like USC to make a run. That USC team, I don't know why they're so bad because every time I watch them, I'm so entertained.
It's like the case of Miami this year in the ACC. You turn on a Miami game, they're still offensively electric to watch. They have really good guards. Nigel Pack, they returned. One of their front court players got a defensive player of the year honorable mention, I think.
Yeah.
And they finished second to last in the ACC, kind of like what USC is doing. I mean, they made some moves at the end of the season, but I can't just look at that part of the season and forget about the hurt that they caused their whole fan base at the beginning, the Bronny curse that hit them, and they haven't been able to shake yet.
Vaxxed? Was Bronny vaxxed? Do we know? Is that why he went into cardiac?
Oh, he was definitely vaxxed.
Are you blaming the COVID vaccine? I'm not, but some people are.
No, if anything, that's why it's so confusing. I don't even know what to blame for USC. On paper, they're a good team. Let's see what their path would have to be. If they're going to win, so they start off, they play Washington March 13th, this Wednesday. Yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday is when all of these tournaments will be getting underway. Do they beat Washington? Sure. We'll give them that. Then they play Arizona next.
Just beat them.
Fuck, that's a tough game to win.
Quite honestly, it doesn't bode well just beating the team. No, they're probably dead. I don't know. I just think that tournament's going to be the one where somebody that deserves to be in for their season body of work is going to be outed by some random team winning that tournament. That feels like
this kind of does feel like one that Arizona doesn't win. Washington State, maybe. I don't know enough about them. They're not they're not a fun team to watch. They kind of just popped up on the radar out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Shout out their coach, but you know, I wasn't looking at them until they just started being competitive in the Pac-12, and it was potentially toward the end of the season looking like they might win. Now they didn't get that done, but they only finished a game back from Arizona, yeah. I think. And so I'm with you. I was talking shit, but I'm with you. If any team out of the Pac-12 is going to make a run, if Colorado's not in, then I want Colorado to win the tournament because I got to see that boy. I got to see their Cody Williams in there. But if not, if they're in, then I want USC to make some noise. Seeing Isaiah Collier, Bronny James.
Boogie Ellis.
I knew I was missing the big one. Those three would be so fun.
So fun. And the Bronny hype in the NCAA tournament, I bet would get just so annoying. But it would be a fun way because it's Bronny.
It would be ridiculous, but it would be so Pac-12, you know, for their final year to have an 8 seed or a 9 seed just make a run, win the tournament. Everybody's doubting them. Actually, people, if they win the tournament, people will be hyping them up. And then there's going to be a lot of naysayers. They come in maybe an 11 seed. They're that 11 seed that makes a run. I'd have a lot of fun with that. I like that narrative because I'm sure their coach would be going crazy. I'm sure we'd see Bronny pull up. King Bron pull up to some games. That'd be good for the basketball world. You know, I want that to happen. Let's go USC.
Yes, it would be good. My only concern with that is if one of these random teams wins, and I'll be furious if the committee doesn't, but if somehow they leave Indiana State out of the tournament, then they just don't really pay attention.
Here you go. We're touching on this point. So I totally agree with you, but I do think, let me disclaim this. I want Indiana State to be in. I think the Missouri Valley deserves Drake and Indiana State getting in. This was the exact script. This is exactly how we thought it would play out when we were looking at the Missouri Valley tournament last week. We talked Drake needs to meet Indiana State in the tournament, and then they need to beat them, and then both of them will make it. You know, now that it's actually happened, it seems a lot more rocky. And I want Indiana State to make it again. But looking at their resume, it's tough sometimes. They're a 28-6 team in the Missouri Valley. Two really bad losses. Other losses to like an Alabama, a Michigan State. Those are fine. But it's not like they just lost those. They kind of got blown out in both those games. So I'm here for Indiana State. I see the other side of the argument where they shouldn't get in. But then again, it comes back to the net. The NCAA uses the net rankings all the time. They're like,
that's gross.
Top 30. I totally agree, but if that's what they're using, you're not going to let a top 30 team in the tournament.
Right.
I see both sides. Like,
I think Indiana State passes. They pass the eye test. Listen, I think if you go 28-6, and they're, I don't want to say in any conference because there are some garbage conferences, but the Missouri Valley is not a garbage conference. It's always been the little guy, but it's always been the respectable little guy. Like, oh, they play good fundamental basketball in that league. It's a competitive league, always has been. 28-6 against your peers in a I'll call it a semi-competitive league because it came down to Bradley, you and I, came down to four teams. I think that has to get you in. And in most cases, beat those other three teams.
Yeah, they definitely deserve to be in there. Everybody wants to see their big man, Robbie Avila, get in there. That guy's such a fun sight to see. I don't tune into Arch Madness as much as I probably should year in and year out, but I tuned in this year, and it's just a hell of a tournament. There's so much energy there. The name, that might be the best name for a tournament, hands down. Arch Madness? That's great. Awesome. Whoever did that, promote that guy. He should be... Once the NCAA is diminished and dissolves, he should be the leader of whatever the new program is that arises. Let's give it to the guy that created Arch Madness. But there's not. If anybody is going to get snubbed, though, it's going to be Indiana State. We'll see how it plays out. But it's not like the NCAA hasn't done this in the past to Missouri Valley. I think it's crazy saying this out loud, but the year they had a five bid league. Missouri State was number six in like 06, 07, one of those seasons. I think they were a top 40 net team. Didn't make it in. So if we're looking at the history here, the NCAA, you know, they're familiar with snubbing Missouri Valley. And if it could happen, happen then, it could happen again.
Very, very snubbable league. I think the thing I'm most excited for in March is Tucker DeFreeze playing himself into a lottery pick.
Do you think so? He's not even – I might be corrected here. I don't know if he's on draft boards right now because he's a senior.
Junior.
He's a junior.
I've seen him in some second-round stuff, but like – and they were comparing him to Doug McDermott, and it sounds so incredibly dumb to say because Doug McDermott is probably the best college scorer outside of Pistol Pete at just putting the ball through the rim. But like, if I had to pick between Tucker and Doug in college, I'm probably an idiot for saying it, but I just feel like Tucker does more.
It is wild, especially with the, you know, we're all watching Tucker DeVries live. We all remember watching Doug McDermott. ESPN media people absolutely love to bring him up anytime Creighton's mentioned ever. And so I feel like over the course of time, that kind of gets in your head a little bit, and you're like, this is one of the greatest college basketball players
to ever exist. To be fair, he is. He is.
But you think Tucker DeVries is just that good.
When I say it like that, I sound like...
I agree with you. I just want to hear you stand on your business real quick.
What I'm saying is, I think Doug is more accomplished, but I think Tucker is like the better player. If that that makes sense. Tucker Stanshall.
That makes sense. I see what you're saying. He's a special kid, you know, seeing that post-game presser with him and his dad, and his dad's just, you know, giving him all the accolades in the world, and then they kind of pan, and you see that Tucker standing right there getting teary-eyed emotional, and they give the mic to him, and he just does the classic, you know, honorable, good guy. You know, it's all about the team. We're a special team. You know, just talking all that. And I absolutely love to see that. I don't know where I stand. I got to go Dougie McDermott here, obviously. But, hey, we'll see what happens in March. He's got a chance to do something special. I love that Drake's in, because as much as Indiana State, as much as we got love for them and they could be a dark horse, Drake could just as easily be, you know, went 2-1 against Indiana State. I think they're prepared for some high-level competition. And they're not going to be an early out like last year. They should have won that first game. Just had a tough draw against an Indiana team that, got it done, good. Obviously.
I think Drake's a Sweet 16 team. We'll see where they get. We'll see where we'll see where they get put. I've been looking at a bracket quite a bit.
They're probably a 12 seed, you think, right? 12, 11?
Probably. I'm just...
Right now, they're projected about 11 seed, but it'll be in that 11-12 area.
I don't know. What do you think about the one seeds right now? Well, I figured maybe you want to talk about... Do you want to talk about the SEC tournament? I know you love yourself some SEC basketball.
Yeah, let's get into the SEC, because aside from the Big 12, they're my favorite conference to watch. They're so put together this year. I mean, aside from like Missouri and Vanderbilt, top to bottom, they're all solid. Chris Beard's Ole Miss team, that's probably not going to make the tournament, I think they're pretty solid. I'm not saying they're anything special, but they'd be really solid in a lot of other programs or a lot of other conferences. So, looking at the SEC, this is what I hate, because I see it and I see Tennessee and how dominant they've been, even though Kentucky just beat them. And I just want to Dalton connect them all the way to the end. But I'm not going to sleep on this Kentucky team.
Connect might be March's darling. Because, like, people are aware of who he is, but there's still a lot of people that are not aware of who he is. Because a lot of people haven't locked in until right now or within the next week or so.
And most people's first time will probably be him in this tournament.
So he can score.
I want to hear your thoughts first.
On the SEC tournament?
Yeah.
I think Tennessee is playing so well right now that I don't
coming off anyone. A loss too. I kind of like that.
Yeah, and like the losses are going to come; they're going to happen. I just really like them. I think Connect is so good. They have that bye. I don't know. The one seed and the one and the two seeds kind of get screwed in the SEC tournament.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Also, what an abysmal year for Arkansas. I don't know what's going on there. Dumb.
Hey, if we're talking about, if we say USC could make a run in the Pac-12, if any team could do it at Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Missouri, and Georgia, it'd be Arkansas running that table. Because again, they're just like the Miami, just like USC. On paper, they look good. They have talent. But it just, I mean, maybe these guys get refocused, but towards the end of the year, these Arkansas guys, well, Khalif Battle for them is just an absolute monster, putting up like 20 points per game or something, a lot of it at the free throw line, but they can score, and they're a team on paper that just looks good. I'm sure some of these guys were playing hero ball towards the end. They're probably not going to stay at this Arkansas program. I mean, we'll see, but that's the world we live in with this transfer portal now. But I could see them making some noise. But if I'm being realistic, this kind of seems like Kentucky or Tennessee's tournament to win. I mean, maybe Alabama sneaks it in, but I just don't think their defense is good enough. Depends who they play in the championship game. Even if it's Tennessee or Auburn, I think both those teams' defenses are too good for Alabama's offense. I know they're like number one metrics, but it seems like Kentucky's the only team that can beat Tennessee with just straight offense.
Listen, Kentucky's, they're good. Dillingham and Tucker, they're good.
Does it feel like they're getting hot at the right time?
I still don't think so. I just don't. They might be a Sweet 16 team. I just feel like March, the moment gets big in March. The moment's big.
Yeah.
And
it's the biggest.
I don't know. Sometimes it's too big. Sometimes the moment's too big for young guys. I've been preaching it all year. I think I'll probably preach it till I die.
Oh, they still got, I think, senior Antonio Reeves, who we don't talk a lot about for Kentucky, but I mean, he's kind of their catalyst. It seems like, you know, they go with him, which is crazy to say with a team that has Rod Dillingham and Reed Shepard. I mean, just two ballers that, you know, Reed's going to do it for you. Yeah, literally. They're both going to the league. But it kind of, on the flip side of that, you know, with the moment being too big, some teams lock in. And it seems like maybe this Calipari team will. They're gonna make or break your bracket. I'll tell you that right now. They're gonna lose quickly, or they're gonna make a Final Four, Sweet 16 run. I'm very interested to see who they get because it's gonna be dangerous. I guess, you know, some teams lock in and get that defense going in March.
Ooh, does defense win? I mean, I really like.
You gotta have some good defense. Yeah.
I love the Clones' outlook for March just because they play hard defense.
Oh, you want to see? We were not so hot on the Clones. You want to go back to them?
Well, no, I'm not hot on the Clones for the Big 12 tournament.
I think they need an early round exit to kind of get themselves figured out, get that rest before the tournament. You know, maybe Keyshawn can change his hair back.
Yeah, I think that's first and foremost. But the Big 12 is the best conference in basketball. It's competitive all year. It's safe to say that maybe except for the SEC, you've already played the best competition you're going to play this year.
I think that's fair enough to say.
Like UConn, like Marquette's going to see teams. There's teams that are better than Marquette that are like, is Baylor a better team than Marquette? I'd say so.
I think I feel like Marquette's taken some steps forward with Tyler Kolek out. I think that's always great. We saw, I mean, coming back to Iowa State, we saw Iowa State players step up when Taman Lipsy was out. Cam Jones for Marquette has kind of turned into somebody that's definitely going to need to be getting more playing time when all that comes back around, when Tyler Kolek's healthy. We'll see what's going on in the Big East with him. But yeah, I'll put Marquette up there. I'd say it'd be a tight match with Baylor, and I think they could expose them. They got better defensive metrics, and they get blown the fuck out by UConn. But other than that, I mean, their resume's solid.
I can't
believe Shaka Smart's their head coach, too.
Oh. Have you seen all the videos of him being on the court while he's coaching?
Dan Hurley?
No, Shaka.
Shaka? No, but I'm not surprised. It seems like every coach is wanting to get a little more space on the court this year.
Well, people are, like, they'll be swinging the ball around on Marquette's defense, and he'll, like, be standing in the corner, like, on the court. He almost coaches from the sideline and is playing, like, a sixth defender, like, legitimately taking stuff away from the offensive team and getting away with it.
Do you think, obviously Shaka Smart's a great coach. He's had great success. We can't really take that away from him, but do you think sometimes his ego or his personality kind of gets in front of the team a little bit? I feel like we've seen that at Texas a little. They're kind of a cursed program, so I put none of his quote-unquote failure on him. That's just being Texas, life in Texas. But at Marquette, you know, they had an earlier round exit than they would last year. And as much of a – I think he's an upstanding guy, but sometimes I think the ego can get – a little carried away maybe on the team. Do you know the point? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I get what you're trying to say. I think that's the MO for a lot of college basketball coaches.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, college basketball, the players, or the coaches are bigger stars than the players.
Right, and a lot of instances,
people would argue that there's not even a true star for college basketball this season. I mean, Edie, he's not bringing any attention. They're not even branding him properly at all. Dalton Connect, they're starting to get there. I think he will be the savior in the tournament, but no.
So many people don't know who he is, though. So many people, like, and you look at it from, like, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Like, they don't. I just hated that I threw Angel Reese in there, but you have to. But those two are so much bigger than any college basketball guy. I mean, who's the most famous college basketball player right now? And is it Bronny James?
What's crazy to say is that might be the answer. And it's crazy because he doesn't do that much for his team at all, but everybody wants to talk about him because he's Bron's son. I think it's wild. He's projected to be a draft pick. I don't know why you would do that. He's got to come back for another year, man. You got to earn your due. And it kind of feels like if you get drafted this year as Bronny, you're just giving it. But that's a separate point. I don't know any stars that are being promoted as big as Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark. There aren't any in college basketball. That's your answer.
Caitlin Clark is the biggest thing in sports right now. Like,
Caitlin Clark, I hear about that Juju girl at UCLA or USC all the time.
Have you ever watched Juju Watkins play a game?
No. Is she good like that?
She's a freshman. I mean, she chucks it. She lets that motherfucker fly.
Is she chucking it from half?
Not even half, but she likes to get her shots up.
Yeah, she looks like she was a little more, I saw a picture of her recently, and she was, the way I hear her described, she seems like a small kind of, you know, agile, quick shoot, sharpshooter in the women's game. But I saw a picture of her. She's kind of a big body out there. She could handle her own.
She does it all. She's really good.
She looks more like a post really player, good. Honestly.
Sometimes she's just not super efficient, is all I'm saying. But that
there's Cameron Brink too. This just reaches on a bigger point where there's just a problem in men's college basketball where we're not paying attention until March. Some people say they don't give a fuck about even the men's tournament anymore. I don't even want to hear that. It's the greatest. Dude,
are people saying that?
People are saying that, but people will say anything on the internet.
People will say anything on the internet, including me.
And I love it, but it's a damn tragedy to take away from a national moment like this, March Madness.
Are you a Twitter burner guy?
No, but I should be after talking. I've been hearing about Ralph's burner on the Pop Off Pod. You know, he's releasing pods all the time. Listen to the other Pop Off Pod podcast. Turner's got a burner. I know you've got a burner. I know a lot of people with burners, and that's the way to go. Nobody's real on Twitter. It's just a place to just spew your endless thoughts into an endless void.
Yeah. And I have some friends that have burners that tweet some wild ass shit from their burners. I don't think I could ever do that.
But you would never know it's them, right? It's like a secret Twitter almost.
I mean, you can really just be anybody in today's world. You can be whoever
Maybe we should all make burners. It's kind of, I feel like, where you're getting at.
I think everybody should have a burner. I think everyone should have a fake persona on the internet that they can hide behind their words.
I feel like that's the most fun way to enjoy the internet.
I think that improves morale across the board. Can't take anything too personal on the internet.
And I feel like this has been a long time coming. You know, what we're talking about with burners and these just different personalities. People are trying to, you know, just have a little fun on the internet. You know, here I am. I'm Sam Captain America, Captain Jones. I don't know what your name is on your burner. That's your life. You get to make your separate fun one. But I feel like this all comes from when we were in elementary school, middle school, you name it. And we're on the computer during the summer or during school hours. And we're just playing those little games where, you know, you create a little avatar person. And then you just like walk around. It's like a real world thing. And you're just chatting with people. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about any game where you could go in. Club Penguin, that's a good example. And you just go in, you're just your own little, creating your own little life. You got to be who you want to be.
Club Penguin wouldn't let you swear. So that was the worst part about Club Penguin. But Club Penguin.
You could get ways. You could find ways around that.
You could. Were you ever a Minecraft guy?
No, never a Minecraft guy. I had to take a step back and think what that was for a second. Never a Minecraft guy, but I've seen some cool Minecraft videos. I'll say that.
Did you have a laptop and, like, did everybody at your high school get their own laptop?
No, we didn't. But there was, laptops everywhere in rooms. So they would just have them by our senior year. They had a cart that would just go from whatever room needed it. They'd be plugged in and you could just use them whenever. You had a profile though, so you could get back in. You could get into all your saved everything. So you kind of had a laptop, but not really one you carried with you everywhere.
I went to a public school and we all freshman year, we all got our own laptops and we turned them at the end of the year and we came back and got them. So everyone always.
And it was a laptop, not an iPad?
No, we all had MacBooks. So
yeah, that's kind of nice.
So we'd set up a Minecraft server and we'd have like 100 people in this Minecraft server. And honestly, it was the peak fun. It was peak.
I'll expose myself here a little, but did you ever play RuneScape?
No, I never got into RuneScape.
Were towards my senior year, but that's kind of what we're talking about right now. These on right. Minecraft, can you go around and chat? Can you like talk to people?
Yeah. And we'd always have
are there big servers that a lot of people go into?
Yeah. And people would have their own servers and you'd hop in them and like people would be building stuff. Like one guy built Hogwarts. He built an entire
That's
Hogwarts.
What I'm saying.
And then he let like people in to see it and they blew it up. Because people, high schoolers are just jackasses. And it was so funny at the time.
But and it's gone? Like, you can't, like, save it, and then they blow it up, and you can go back to it?
No, it's all, like, live action.
Oh, fuck.
Hilarious. Super funny, actually. Still funny. Was funny when I was 15, is funny at 26.
Oh, that's a sad, that would be a sad day in history for that guy. He'll never forget that date. I mean, yeah, we have, like real life terrorist events. Cool. And he has his when they blew up Hogwarts.
Which is arguably worse. Were you a Cool Math Games guy?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Cool like, Math Games.
Papa's Pizzeria.
I don't remember any of the games. I totally remember going to that site, though. And I think they didn't have it blocked. You know, there were times when they were blocking all these different sites you could go to. They didn't block Cool Math Games.
They couldn't block Cool Math Games. It was inevitable.
They were all math games, right? That wasn't just like code for, hey, you won't block this site.
None of them were fucking math games. They were like, they were like, for like they could have been, but like you would make pizzas and you count out how many sausage you're putting on the pizza and then you cut the pizza into slices, but then you'd feed it. Oh, you got to play some Papa's Pizzeria. Everybody out there should go to Cool Math Games and play Papa's Pizzeria.
You know, maybe in middle school or elementary school, that would have sounded fun. But right now, that is not tripping my trigger.
You have to play it once.
Making pizzas and slicing them? I do that in real life. Some of those people do that for a living. Shout out Bordy. Shout out Bordy's Pizzeria in Des Moines. And I think this is a good time to do our first ad read. I wish it was Bordy's Pizzeria. That would be awesome if they sponsored. But we haven't heard anything from them yet. But our ad read comes from a little-known company called DraftKings. DraftKings, this is March. And they had a message from their PR person that is paying us to do this, and they wanted to share it with the general public here. So let me give a little try at this. DraftKings, they are the sponsor for the Box Out Boys. DraftKings, thank you for continuing to just give us your money. This March, when everything rolls around, you know, some people could look at it as a time of giving. You know, some people associate that with Christmas, but why not March? You know, when you're feeling like giving to a charity, don't. Just give us your money. Thank you. So that was brought to you by DraftKings. By the way, you read it, you'd think they're a charitable organization, but they're actually all for profit. And boy, do they make it. Yeah, you start looking at those numbers in New York, other places, they're making like $1 billion a month.
Billions.
And I don't have a side on that at all. I just think it's wild to think about. You can't fathom that much money if you haven't seen that much money. You don't even know what you do with it.
Are people, I think people like think sports gambling is becoming a problem, but I think it's just always been a problem. But like everyone just did it with the mob up until like 15 years ago.
Yeah, if anything, gambling's more safer. And everyone thinks it's a problem because now we have it on the books. Now there's a paper trail. Now people, organizations like FanDuel, DraftKings, they're releasing statements of their monthly earnings. And people were just like, what the fuck? We always said they were billion-dollar industries, but nobody really Nobody really knew. Nobody really knew at the time, except the people that were running that shit, which was the mob. So, should we do one more? What do we got? We got the Big Ten we didn't touch on?
We can pass.
Oh, you don't even want to go into that. Big Ten.
Maybe.
Yeah, Purdue. I think Purdue does win it. They're a good, angry team. They're so angry from last year. I like Purdue. I still like them in the tournament. If any team's going to make some run and make a noise, though, you know, obviously we're not going to say Illinois. Could see Nebraska being an early out, just playing away from home. Seems like they have crazy amount of success there. But I'll say Northwestern with Boo Booey. You know, if they match up with Purdue, they're the only team that I think they both games went to OT. They seem to be Purdue's just kryptonite for some reason. So I kind of like the idea of Northwestern winning it. I don't think that happens. Got to give it to Purdue, probably. But they, again, that's just, I hate taking the one seed because we're in a one and done play style now. And that's just a recipe for madness. So it doesn't pan out like it looks like it will on paper.
Agreed with that.
So those are our long shots, I guess. We got USC's a good dark horse. Northwestern's a good dark horse.
USC, Northwestern.
Probably give it to Kentucky. And then in the Big East, it's just going to be UConn, probably. Yeah.
Oh, I have something to say about UConn. I don't think they make it past the Sweet 16.
You got a reason for that?
Okay, I guess it depends on matchup. If there's a team that can stretch them out, and knock down threes, UConn, I don't think, can beat that style of play.
Does any team come to mind as a dangerous opponent for them?
Like, I think Kentucky would be, but they're going to be a higher seed. So a late seed? Like a BYU. I don't think UConn wants to see a BYU team.
Yeah, I got to get more bought into this BYU team. I think they're the real deal, too.
They're good.
But if we look at it, they've lost to Kansas at Kansas. They lost to Seton Hall. That was just some Shaheen Holloway magic. Shout out Shaheen Holloway. Great season, Seton Hall. And then they lost to Creighton away. And that was just that Nebraska magic. There's that magic in Nebraska, dude.
Ooh, I don't.
But otherwise, they have literally embarrassed everybody else. It's absolutely insane to look at their
schedule. Dan Hurley keeps threatening to fight fans after games, and it's something that I think he should do all the time, every game.
Did you see his most recent outburst?
Yeah, I like that. I think we should let Dan Hurley fight fans. If you were talking shit to Dan Hurley and he came up and hit you, are you even pressing charges? I think you're just taking that one on the chin, recognizing it, and getting out of there.
I feel like he's more of a formidable opponent than he looks. For his age, he's kind of tall. I imagine he still keeps his body in shape because he's running that shit like a military camp. He's definitely joining in here and there just to show players, look how much better I am than you. But his most recent outburst I saw was, I think some fan was talking about his wife and, you know, calling her some inappropriate names. I'm surprised they didn't get kicked out or anything, at least that I saw. But Dan Hurley pointed at him and said, you want to come over here and say that?
Love it.
I would be terrified.
I would want no part of it. But, I don't know. I think you should be able to fight him free of consequences.
I'm sure they'll start introducing some hockey rules here and there for men's college basketball. It just seems like anything can go. They got to get viewership up a little, but it's everybody's really stance crazy. Right now is don't fight. We don't want to fight. Some people want to see a fight.
I think it's crazy that in hockey they just let them fight.
Well, maybe it'd be cool if we don't want the players to fight. You know, that could get a little too real, but the coaches here and there, like TJ Otts and Jerome Tang versus everybody, really. But that would be a good fight. You know, you call us out like that, we got to settle that beef now.
I think I would like to see the players fight.
Oh, we'd like it, yeah. But we got to take baby steps to get there. Once we get comfortable with the coaches fighting.
like double overtime was just like both of their teams throw their scrappiest dude out there, and winner takes the game.
I love it's a evolutionary, you know, it's an evolutionary idea that could be brought to college basketball.
Trey King coming just storming down on you.
Oh, you know, you're done for. That's like a 6'7", 240-pound dude, 230.
Yeah. I'm just saying ready triple to go. Overtime, like triple OT, just each send a fighter out.
And those players, if you're going to triple OT, they're probably pretty tired, so it's going to get scrappy real quick.
And then you'll see the recruitment of just, like, martial arts guys at the end of your bench. Like, one roster spot will just be a dude that can fucking brawl.
Yeah, like the team that got a recruit that was supposed to be really good in Division I football. They were getting offers from Bama, Georgia, all these tough SEC schools, but they decided to play basketball at Florida or something like that. And then that's your guy. That's your fighter. That's your champion.
That's your champion. I don't know. NIL bag, you start seeing people like Adesanya, just recruited, probably still has college eligibility, sit on the end of the bench. Style vendor. I don't know.
I like it. I mean, it's just an interesting idea. I'll say that.
I don't feel like you love it, but
it takes a little bit to wrap your head around. Because I take everything you say so true, so realistically. I play these scenarios out in my head, and so actually imagining this, I can get behind the coaches fighting. I want to see Dan Hurley. Shaka Smart go at it. I feel like they almost did.
Would that be your primetime coach matchup?
No, I really like TJ Otts versus Jerome Tang.
Does anybody beat Otts?
Not in the Big 12, no. He's got the youthful energy for all the other coaches. No, Scott Drew's not taking him. I think Jerome Tang puts up a good fight, but you know, he's kind of on the older side too. Bill Self can't be involved in this. He would die. Yeah, he'd be dead after that. So I'd hate to see that. There'd have to be an age rule. Otherwise, some of these coaches would just be. Can you imagine Roy Williams and Coach K dueling it out at their, you know, at the end of their careers?
Who's like the oldest college basketball coach right now?
The oldest.
Like, imagine like Jim Boeheim against Otts. Or like
a death sentence for Boeheim.
I mean, he's in trouble.
Who is the oldest college basketball coach?
Patino's 72, almost 72. I don't know who it would be.
Okay, Patino's a good one.
Patino's my vote.
All right, let's see. I'm getting some information on this. Patino at 72. No, he's number six.
Number six?
Yeah, he's number six. And fuck this. It's a paid article. Fuck ESPN Plus.
They ran a paywall?
Yeah, let's see. Okay, here's the real shit. Oh, Nate Oates is up there.
How old is Nate Oates?
I guess he just looks really good for his age.
Ooh, how old is Rick Barnes? I bet Rick Barnes is up there.
I'm going to guess 73. He's 69. That's a good age, Rick.
Shout out Rick Barnes.
Shout out Rick Barnes, 69 years old. We'll just give it to Rick Barnes. I feel like he'll be the scrappiest 65 and older guy out there. You know, he keeps it cool, calm, collected all the time, but there's rage inside that man. Just waiting to come out. Rage. But all right, we recapped some pretty good college basketball, kind of gave you some thoughts and a little preview on what's going on here this week. We got all the Power Six tournaments. This week we got St. Mary. We got the West Coast Conference going on this week. People were trying to tell me it was last week. It's totally this week.
Going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is going on right now. Starts today. The remaining Power Six conferences will start Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the SEC will finish up Sunday, and we will have our selection. We made it here. We went down, we started this year walking down the Yellow Brick Road to March, and we're towards the end right now. It's going to be over in less than a month. Yeah, it's about a three-week tournament. So let's get fired up here. Let's watch these conference tournaments, and fuck yeah, the end of college basketball. This is the best time of the year. Lock in on your favorite team. Tune into a random team and find some love with them. But it's conference week or conference tournament week, so anything can happen. One and done style, baby.
Conference week. Lock in, everybody. This is March.